time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and, beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, it's good to be here today. I want to start with two statements that I don't think are going to be a surprise to anyone here, actually. One, as far as I know, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about skydiving. And two, I have never been skydiving. I have no intention of going skydiving. That's three statements, I know. Now, I have heard that skydiving is just amazing. The view of the earth spread out beneath you, and the sensation of falling, and the wind, and all the while you know that your parachute is going to keep you safe, if all goes according to plan. And I did this week, I looked up what are the odds of having any kind of a skydiving accident, and yeah, I mean, that would include a sprained ankle or, you know, anything. And you've got a 99.5 or so percent chance of having everything go really well. The other 0.5 would be the part that would concern me. So, you know, people have said skydiving is just a wonderful thing. It's an incredible experience. I have friends who have done it, and I see no reason to step out of a perfectly good airplane while it's in the air. And, I'm seeing some agreement here. You know, if I would have been with Peter in that boat, I probably would have been one of the 11 disciples who stayed in the boat. You know, again, no reason to step out of a perfectly good boat while it's far from shore during a storm. Now, granted, I would have missed out on that incredible experience of walking on the water. Also, I wouldn't have started sinking into a raging sea and almost drowned. But also, I wouldn't have had the experience of feeling the saving power of Jesus' hand or of walking beside Jesus on that storm-tossed water. So I want to look more closely at the passage that Micah read for us this morning. It starts immediately after the story that you all heard about last week. The miracle of turning 5 loaves and 2 fish into a meal big enough to feed probably at least 10,000 people. Jesus then had the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead while he dismissed all those people. And then after the crowds of people had all gone home, Jesus finally went up on the mountainside and got that quiet time that he had anticipated having much earlier. I don't know what he prayed about. At the beginning of this chapter of Matthew, Jesus had found out that Herod had killed his cousin, John the Baptist. I imagine he was sad about that. If you're grieving somebody, sometimes you just need time to be by yourself. Or to be by yourself with God, but not with crowds of people. And then, too, Jesus might have spent part of the evening asking for direction. How was John's death going to change Jesus' ministry? If Herod thought that Jesus was John come back to life somehow, Did Jesus need to be cautious about getting anywhere near Herod? Where did God want Jesus to go next? Well, the immediate next step was to reconnect with the disciples, who were out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm had come up and kind of blew the boat farther from land. The disciples were in danger. Their boat was being battered by the waves. And then towards morning, probably between 3 a.m. and dawn, the disciples saw some sort of a hazy figure walking towards them on the sea. Raging storm, unidentified figure coming towards them. It's a ghost! Help, we're doomed! The disciples were peering into the storm. They were afraid to identify what kind of a phantasm this approaching figure was. But after they cried out in fear, they immediately heard a familiar voice, Jesus' voice. And Jesus said, "Take heart, it's me. Don't be afraid." Could it really be Jesus? It sounded like Jesus. And they knew Jesus had the power to do miraculous things. They had just seen him multiply loaves and fishes and do a wonderful miracle. But walking on water during a storm at sea? Peter called out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Did Peter think before he said that? Because I can come up with various scenarios where that might not have turned out so well. If it hadn't been Jesus, the figure could have still commanded Peter to come to him on the water and wouldn't have had the power to save him. But I think Peter knew Jesus' voice. I know Peter's phrasing had an if it is you, command me to come to you. But I think Peter knew it was Jesus walking towards the boat. Even still, why did Peter ask that? Why did Peter ask Jesus to command him to do something so risky? Well, the only way I can answer that is to say, I am not Peter, I do not know. Peter heard Jesus reassure the disciples, "Take heart, it's me, don't be afraid." And he responded by saying, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter came. In faith, Peter stepped out of the boat into the stormy waves. And by the power of Jesus, Peter walked on water. What an amazing and unbelievable experience. In fact, when Peter looked around and his logic started to catch up with his impulses, maybe this walking on water thing was too unbelievable to last. Peter started sinking, and he immediately cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. And he said to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, Jesus didn't mean Peter didn't have faith. Peter had enough faith to step out of the boat. And Peter had enough faith to walk on water for a little while. It was just that as he got farther out into the stormy waters, his faith faltered. His faith was too easily swamped when the going got rough. Well, the good news, of course, is that Jesus was willing to save Peter. Just as Jesus is willing to save us when our faith falters. I'm picturing Jesus and Peter walking together back to the boat. And when they got in, the wind subsided and the waves returned to normal. And all the disciples in the boat knew that they were in the presence of the Son of God. We in this sanctuary, or we on our Zoom devices this morning in our living rooms or wherever we are in the presence of our Lord. This is where we gather to worship God. And this is a place I like to be. I know everybody here. I know how we do things. I know what order we do things in. This is a comfortable place for me. You might even call this the boat. And we're the disciples in the boat. Now, granted, the past few years have been kind of stormy. We're still figuring out how to navigate life in a post-shutdown world, how to meaningfully include those of us that worship via Zoom. We're grieving beloved members of the congregation who have died. We're learning how to keep functioning even when some of us have moved away. There's a lot going on in the boat. We have a new purpose statement. It's been on an easel out in the fellowship hall for quite a while. As children of God, we are followers of Jesus who share God's love with all humanity. We're children of God. We're followers of Jesus. We share God's love with people who are in the boat and with people who are not in the boat. Which brings up the question, do we need to get out of the boat? Do we need to look in our community for a place that Jesus is at work, where it looks like our strengths as a congregation might come in handy, and then ask Jesus to command us to get out of the boat? That's not an entirely comfortable thought. For one thing, it takes effort and intentionality to look around and see Jesus in the neighborhood. Kind of like the disciples were squinting to see Jesus through the storm, and they thought they saw someone they thought it looked like a ghost at first. It takes effort to look around and see Jesus in the neighborhood. And it takes attentiveness to listen and recognize Jesus' voice, to get familiar with who Jesus is, how Jesus works. I don't know if I could hear Jesus' footsteps when he walks into a room and just identify someone by their footsteps. When we do see Jesus, when we identify a place where we think Jesus wants us to come and join him, then it takes courage to get out of the boat, to do things differently than what we had been doing. Maybe to not do something that we were doing so that we have time and energy to do the new thing. We can take heart, maybe, in the fact that Peter's faith faltered, but he still lived to tell the tale. If we step out of the boat and things don't go as we hope, God will be with us. Our Lord will not let us drown. On the other hand, I don't need to always put the possible bad side first. It's possible that we would step out of the boat and walk on water. Through the power of our risen Lord, who was there outside the boat before we ever were. Now, most of you know that Randy Yoder, our district executive minister, has encouraged us to identify a specific ministry that we can become involved with in the community. And I don't know if he has in mind a new ministry or expanding one that we're currently doing or what exactly. You all have been more in the conversations with that than I have. But so I wore my Crop Hunger Walk shirt today, because part of me says we're already involved in some ministries in the community. And also because the Crop Hunger Walk is coming up. It's October 1st this year. October 1st is going to come just as soon as October comes, and it'll be here before we know it. So as of today, Matt has the little envelopes that he can hand out. Yes, there we go. He'll practice his Vanna moves in the next month or so. So we do the Crop Hunger Walk. And some of that money goes nation globally. Some of that money stays here in Reno County and goes to the Reno County Food Bank and the soup kitchen. The Crop Walk isn't our only community outreach. We donate money and needed items to First Call for Help. We lead worship services once a month at Legend Assisted Living. There's a table in the fellowship hall that has to do with Noel Lodge. We're already involved in ministries to the community. Now, another part of me says, it's good to repeatedly evaluate, what are we doing? Who are we connecting to? How is it working? Are we still called to exert our energies in this direction, or are we called to kind of shift our focus a little bit? Are we sharing God's news on a person-to-person level? Donating money is a good and helpful thing, and it's necessary for a number of local agencies so that they can continue carrying out their ministries. But it doesn't replace person-to-person contact. So I wonder this year, well, so often my Crop Hunger Walk energies are geared towards just making sure the walk goes off okay, but then I don't actually make connections to somebody at the food bank. I don't necessarily spend a Sunday and go and help serve meals at Christian Soup Ministries. We could do that. We could go together with First Mennonite, ask them when their next Sunday to go is, and we could maybe join in. How do we do person-to-person contact in the community? And as we look around our neighborhood, either here in Hutchinson or closer to the other places that we live, as we look around and as we listen for Jesus, is there a place where we think Jesus might want us to get out of the boat and join him? I don't know the answer to that, but it's worth thinking about. As we look around our neighborhood, is there a place where we think Jesus might be wanting us to get out of the boat and join him? Because if there is, well, you still won't get me to go skydiving, but you might get me to step out of the boat. That would be our food for thought for this morning. And I think now we're going to join in hymn number 570, We Walk by Faith.